Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am your host, Wanda McKinley, and Stephanie. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to be able to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them a new life and a new perspective of a normal life, and also by enhancing them and elevating their lives. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. And I endured that for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Today I want to introduce my co-host, Stephanie. How are you doing today? Stephanie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Now.
Okay, I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Great. So what you have for us today, Stephanie?
Well, I'll just share a little bit. I'm Stephanie Kennedy Alford, and I've gone through several levels of abuse as well. Mine started in my younger years. I was ashamed and scared to speak up and out, and I'm still working on that, coming out with, you know, all the things that I have experienced. And I am realizing that I went through it not for myself but for others. So that is what is allowing me to finally come out with it, you know, more and more. I want to share, this morning I was listening, as I was sending out the reminders about the show, I was actually listening to the TV, and what caught my eye, made me look up, was I heard a lady saying that she was raped by her dad. So I raised my head and started to watch, and she said that she was often raped while her mom was in the same house. And she said, she mentioned that when her dad would start to do that, she would yell out and her mom would come to the top of the stairs, and she, you know, she would say, "Is everything okay?" Her dad would reply, "Oh, we're just playing." So the mom would just go on. And what I want to say to anybody that is listening, please pay attention. The signs are there. Don't miss them. If you have a funny feeling about something, please check it out. Listen. The signs are really there. They're often missed. But sometimes people are scared to speak out. I know I was. But you've got to listen. Sometimes you're speaking out, and you're just missing it. So whatever it is, just pay attention to it. You know, go with your gut feeling. And that's all I wanted to say on that. Wanda, would you like to go ahead and introduce the guest that we have today?
Yes, I am so excited. Today we'll be talking to Colette Martin. She is a beautiful international inspirational singer, and she's also an advocate of domestic violence. How are you today, Colette?
I am excellent, and I am so thankful to be a part of this discussion today.
We are excited to have you. Now, I did some research about you, and it was really exciting. I do know that you, do you currently reside in Atlanta?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I'm
is that where you're
Mobile,
originally
Alabama,
from?
But I'm from Mobile, Alabama. I'm an Alabama girl, but I moved here in 2010.
What brought you to Atlanta?
My purpose brought me to Atlanta. At the time, I was coming out of an abusive marriage, divorce, and I knew that I needed to continue to have and establish this relationship with God. And I felt all of the plans led me here to Atlanta. So it was my purpose. I didn't know at the time, but now I know.
Wow. So besides your beautiful gift that God gave you, your voice, because I've heard it, and I enjoy listening to you sing, you're also an advocate of domestic violence, and you just mentioned briefly about the abuse. Do you mind going into and telling us about what you experienced?
Yes, I will, which is what my ministry is all about, and it's about sharing and not being ashamed so that the healing process can start. But my ministry is all about domestic violence, abuse, and I speak with a lot of battered women and, of course, sometimes the children. And I was also abused in relationships most of my life, including a failed marriage of over 10 years. I too, was molested. I, too, was raped. I, too, went through a lot of physical abuse in the relationships. And I got really lost and down and depressed. And from that, I started to become an abuser of drugs and alcohol, and to the point where I even attempted suicide. So, I began to abuse myself, and I didn't really know at the time what my purpose was. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life, but I knew that music was my connection, and I love music so much. And so I decided to, once I started developing and establishing again a relationship with God, is when I allowed myself to be quiet, to be clear about my purpose and what it was that He chose for me to do, mm-hmm. because it's already been designed and it's already been outlined for us. And I just needed to just shut up, be quiet, be still, and start listening to God's whisper.
Now, Carlette, you just mentioned a few things before you said that you got quiet.
Yeah.
I would say that the things that you just mentioned, and you can mention them again if you want to, that was your way of crying out, whether people listened or not. That was your way of crying out. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. I do agree. Totally. And we have to cry. Eventually, you may be in denial about, but eventually you're crying out inside, internally. You're crying out, and that was my way of crying out.
And also, you know,
it was my way
of
that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Paulette, when God,
I'm listening. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm saying that I know when God showed me what my purpose in life was, I immediately knew, but of course my response was to fight it, because when God told me that I had to be transparent, you know, a lot of us are raised is what, you know, what goes on in the house stays in the house. So we are prone to keep that to ourselves. We are expected, because the abuser uses whatever mental abuse that he can to make us think if we say something that we're going to be the ones to get in trouble. And more times than less, that normally is really what truly happens, which causes a lot of people, women, children, and men, not to say something. But when God told me to be transparent, it was really hard. And it took not only myself, I asked for prayer warriors. I reached out to a lot of people. Because for me, when I received my calling, it really hurt me. Because now I have to relive what I've kept inside of me for so long. So when you realize God's like, okay, Carlette, this is your purpose. Do you remember what you felt like at that moment?
And I too felt the same way. Is it Stephanie or Wanda?
It's Wanda.
Wanda.
Wanda, I felt the same way because when you are going through, you still feel a lot of pain, and you mm-hmm. still feel hurt, and you feel embarrassed, you feel ashamed, and
yes.
a lot you do keep inside. You don't want anyone to know what you've been through, and you try and have this facade, oh, I'm strong, I'll get through it, I'm going to just go on in life. But when you're in it and you know that you've been called, you know that you have to be transparent, I believe that the first thing we have to recognize is, are we truly healed? Have we truly let go? Have we truly forgiven? And that, to me, was the hardest thing, to actually
yes.
forgive those who hurt me, to forgive those who took advantage. And so, but that was God's way of allowing me to understand that there was still hurt, there was still denial, there was still pain there. And it wasn't until I started to go ahead and feel all of that, which was junk in my system, which was pain, which was all mm-hmm. of that, I needed to address that first.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't talk to anyone about my ministry until I knew that I was completely healed. So when we're going through and we've come out, we can look back, you know, because if we've truly been healed from it and we truly know our calling, then sometimes we have to look back because we are a part of everyone that comes in contact with us. We often repeat what we don't.
Yes. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why one of my primary focus with We Are Survivors is the children, because
yes.
What I have acknowledged and what I have noticed and what I have witnessed is that there are so many programs, so many organizations that help the mothers and or fathers, and the children go along with their moms, they go along with the fathers, but are the children being pulled aside separately and helped? Are they being pulled aside to be counseled? Are they being talked to? Are they being examined to see what they're feeling, what they witnessed? How did that affect them? And a lot of times the kids are overlooked. And what happens is that child grows into an adult. And because that child wasn't helped
yeah.
and wasn't taught to understand what they went through or what they witnessed in their home, they feel that behavior is acceptable, and they repeat it.
That's true.
And then you have people that say, well, where did he learn that from? He saw it or she saw it as a young child. I know so many people that I've come across I have one woman that I know, she went through physical, emotional, and mental abuse. And her children that are now grown are repeating what their father did to their mother because they didn't receive the help that she received. Now, she may have took them to the counseling sessions, but were they counseled? So that's one thing that I really want to focus on, because even though I was that child that was being molested, I never saw my father physically abuse my mother or mentally abuse my mother. I didn't know of that until I came out and started talking about it as my mom shared that with me. But as a child, it's like even when I did speak about it and I was the one that was punished, that was even more abuse on top of what I was already receiving. Because it's like, hey, I'm calling out, I'm letting someone know what's going on with me, but now I'm being punished because of what is happening to me. So I think children need an outlet as well. And it's not that many places that I'm aware of that a child can receive just as much help as an adult, because it's different levels. When I went to counseling as a child, it's not the same
yes.
as going to counseling as an adult.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is so true.
I just know that it needs to be addressed.
You know,
now,
I believe, too.
Go ahead.
I believe a good start is not just the homes, but maybe some of the communities, maybe some of the churches, the schools. It can be addressed. We just have to be more mindful and, I think, get more involved. Because we're involved. Our ministry is involved, and we try and connect with those type of community, those teams, those organizations that do surround the children who have been abused and keep them active, keep them involved with art, keep them involved with what they're doing. For example, I, you know, am a big part of the team called PD Cat out of South Carolina, Florence, South Carolina, and these children have been abused. These children have either been raped, they've been molested, they're cutters, and they've come from these relationships or these families, and now there's someone who decided to look into this and to keep them involved so that they can stay away from all of this and understand who they are and their purpose. And they're now on tour with me.
Oh, wow.
So awesome. So we can make a difference. It may start small, but it grows. It grows. It grows.
That is so
true. And they're praise dancers. They're praise dancers. They're flag girls. And they feel, you know, one 10-year-old actually spoke out when we were performing that she had just gotten raped. And
wow.
Had to have surgery to repair her insides. And so I know that it makes a difference. I know that if we speak out and we get involved and we stay involved, that it will make a difference.
And they
well,
don't feel
funny,
alone.
You were just talking about dancing and stuff. That is an outlet for people. I praise dance for many years. That's an outlet for people to actually let things out as well without coming out saying things, because they can do it within their dance moves and stuff, or the songs may be reflecting certain things, and in their moves, people can be drawn to you because they've gone through some of the same things, and they
That's
can
right.
tell by your moves some of the things that you've been through. You have that connection if you've been through certain things.
That's true. That's true, and that's what our ministry, we three, we have a powerful ministry here. And I so, again, appreciate the fact that we can openly discuss this. You know, it's not taboo, even though
right.
the abusers want us to feel that it is and that we're going to be punished or looked at differently or whatever. But we're not, when we come out, our whole focus is God. How does God want us to deal with these situations? He brought us out. He's the only one that we should be mindful of and stay in tune, stay in the Garden of Eden with God. Stay in his presence. And he'll allow us to continue to minister because he brought us out. And if we remember, there are so many that are still in these situations, still in denial, still compromising, still settling, don't want to leave for whatever reason. And it is up to us to always remind them that we have a ministry, and our ministry is that we can do better. We can fulfill our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We can be great. We can be ambassadors. We can be royal regents as God has ordered us to be.
And I know since I've accepted my journey, and as I speak about my past and speak about and share what I went through, as time goes on, what I have noticed is it's not as heavy as it was when I was keeping it to myself. It doesn't sit on my heart. My attitude towards other people is not as harsh as it used to be. My heart, my walk, the way I see things. Now, I was talking to a friend, and I've lost, one thing too, I've lost some friends on this new path on this new journey. And the ones that I have that knew me before I accepted my calling, they're like, Wanda, you've changed. And it, to me, it feels like it's been 10 years, but to them, it's like you've changed overnight. But when you're working for God, and I always pray to hear only His voice, because there's so many different people coming in so many different directions. And I just want to make sure that I stay prayed up and that I continuously do what God has me to do. And I just know that by me talking about it, I have my moments when I break down and I cry and I'm angry and I want to be like a hermit and go back into my little corner and close the door and pull the shades. I do still have those moments. Because this is new for me to even say out loud. I still tremble. I'm still working through for me, because I know a lot of people, like you said, you know, you went through your healing process. And I think for me, I just begun mine. When I accepted my calling, that's when my healing process began, because then I actually acknowledged that these things happened to me. And for me, my father, I blocked out all of the negativity that came with my father. And a couple of people that knew my story, when they saw my father and I together, didn't quite understand my behavior, because I wanted that normal father and daughter relationship that I just completely, I didn't get. But it wasn't as if that was something that drove me, because when I saw my father, I just saw my daddy, and I'm the little girl. And I couldn't understand why. It was about 3 years when God started reminding me of events that had happened to me that He had protected me from for so long. I couldn't understand why I started feeling a certain kind of way towards my father. And I didn't. When I realized what was happening, I didn't want to go through it, because now there's questions that have to be asked, and I have to face the fact that the man that I trusted did this to me. So for me, my healing process began with We Are Survivors, and it's just, so when I say my heart is lighter, it's like it's happened so fast, because I accepted my journey, I accepted my calling, I accepted and understood why I went through what I went through. Because a lot of people... like, but is this really your story? And it is.
Right.
But
yes,
God
it
kept
is.
Me.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I think some people have picture someone that is, you know, mentally depressed, or just from my story, they don't picture this strong Christian woman. They don't picture this smile that I have on my face. They just
Amen.
Pictured. Yeah, they pictured something else. So when they meet me, I've had people say, mm-hmm. "So that's really your story." And I look at them, I said, "I promise you, I couldn't have made that up."
Well, let me just say this. Let me say this: that your purpose is telling, and will tell no. Because, see, you've accepted it. You
mm-hmm.
now are walking in your purpose. You're fulfilling it. And that's why when they see you, they see a different you. They see the light. They see healing. They see this process. And see, because before, we were letting death come upon
mm-hmm.
us. And when you're confused about where we're going, our purpose, and what is it, then the enemy then comes in, and he overshadows our light with darkness, with doubt, with worry, with this. with people, with making bad decisions. And because now you're telling death no, you're fulfilling your purpose. And that's what they see. They see the light. They see direction. They see purpose. They see a straighter road. They see you talking with confidence. They see that you're holding on to God's unchanging hand. That's what they see.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they're going to keep seeing
it. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be, people will be drawn to you because it's just your light, because they know that you got something that they need. And so you have to hold on to that. Because what you hate is your purpose. You know, and
something.
so it's funny how we try to run from it. You know, we think that if we make these decisions that we're just going to forget about it. But your purpose is, it's always there. It ain't going nowhere.
Because I did run.
If we could just come to terms with it and start accepting it, that's when you start the healing process. And again, it is a process. It's a process. Sometimes we get reminded, you know, sometimes people want to bring up who we were, what we did, but we're no longer that person anymore.
Right.
That's why it's important for us to share our ministry and share our purpose.
That's so true. Because it, and for me, even talking about it, it helps me. Every time I get an opportunity, no matter how petrified I may be inside, because that little girl shows up every once in a while. And after I'm done talking, it's like, okay, that we learned it because I'm going to school. So we learned Tuesday about peeling back the onion. And the teacher, one side of the diagram, you had all of your positive, your persona, all of your positive attributes. And then on the other side, you had your shadow, which is all of your negative characteristics. And she was like, people, when you meet someone, they give off all of it. They want you to see all of their positive attributes, their positive personality traits. That's what they give you. And they never, once you learn a person, then you learn, oh, no, they're this or they're that or they're a procrastinator. Then you start picking up their negative personality traits. And I'm sitting in class and I raised my hand. I said, well, no, I'm told the opposite. I said, up until recently, when someone met me, they got all of my negative personalities first. And it took a long time before you would learn my positive personality traits. And I said, because I was abused by the two people that got put in your life to protect you, those are two people that, in my eyes, turned against me. They didn't protect me. And so for me, my protective mechanism was the negativity. And you had to peel back my onion. First you got the raw, and then as you got closer into who I am as a person, then you was like, you're sweet or you're kind, but you wouldn't get that then when you first met me. I said, but now it's the reverse, because I am walking with God and I am trusting in God.
Yes.
And
I
am letting him lead me. But before, didn't want to be around me, and I was truly okay with that, because in my mind, that means you can't hurt me. If you're not close to me, you can't hurt me.
But let me say this to you, Wanda and Stephanie. It was the representative. You see, sometimes we are met by the representative, not the person, not the positive, the representative. So they show up, they play this role, you don't really know what to make of them, and then it becomes confusing because they're coming across one way, but they're saying something totally different.
Right.
And really, when we can recognize it, and I don't know if you are aware of that, but aren't you starting to become more aware that you recognize pain, you recognize
yeah.
the
the representative. And you start to feel like, okay, all right, you're playing a role here.
Mm-hmm.
You really are covering up so much. And you can only cover it up for so long, because under that rug,
right,
it is going to eventually pile up and come out. So
everything has a limit.
Everything. Yes, it does. That's why it's important for us to be as open, like you said, Wanda and Stephanie. You got to be open in order for you to release, in order for us to heal. You know, because continue this ministry, see, we're the leaders now. We're the examples of how we're supposed to look and feel when those come out like we did. See, we got to walk the walk, talk the talk. We have to always be that example, no matter what. Even if you are thinking back, or something happened, or you feel in a certain way, it is, and I'm glad that you said that, it is always good to discuss it. It's good to talk about it. It's good to talk about it.
Great.
A lot of times people don't want to talk about it. Yes.
Because a lot of people are ashamed. And you said something too.
That's right.
Because I had, when you accept this journey, I know that I've had a couple of friends call me and say, well, hey, you want to go here? And I'm like, well, no, I can't go there. Well, hey, do you want to do this? And it's like when you yoke up and you listen and you're focused on God, even the things that you want to do change. And the places you want to go change. And so now, because I know God has chosen me to lead women to Him, with this ministry, to lead them, because if you accept Him and begin your healing process, it's going to bring you closer into God. So for me, like you said, an example. This is, listen to what God has to say. Follow Him through your healing process, and your frown can be turned back into a smile. And then you don't have to remove yourself from being friendly or making friends or being afraid of what another human being can do, because you know you're protected. And for me, it's just been a life-changing event. We Are Survivors has changed my life. I don't just see myself as the founder. It has changed me, because I'm learning so much about me. I have learned a lot of why I have responded to a lot of different situations, why my attitude really was the way it was. And it's just, for me, I'll have a wow moment. I was in a grocery store and I call them wow moments, when I figured out why I reacted to, like, situations when it comes to money. People can't ask me about my money. It sends me somewhere emotionally. I get very defensive. But my ex-husband was financially abusive, where I had to ask him permission to even buy a pair of shoes. And so for the longest, I couldn't figure out why. And I just happened to be in the grocery store, and it came together, and I was in the store crying. I know they probably thought, this one, what is wrong with this woman? But it was like God showed me, this is why you respond that way. So for me, it's just, We Are Survivors is more than just a nonprofit organization. It is also part of my healing process, and I love it. I do know also, Colette, I want a chance.
Yes.
I want to have a chance to talk about, you have a show, and it's called The Colette Martin Show. Tell us about this show.
Yes, I'm excited about this show, because we've taken this show on the road, and it's called Your Inspirational Guide to Success. So what I do is, every time we perform or I'm touring, we have a tour bus, and what we do is we have everyone, or those that are interested or don't mind sharing who they were inspired by or what inspired them to do what they're doing, I sit down and I talk with them one-on-one. And they share about their testimonies, they share about their walk, their ministry, and everything. And so, and it's so intimate, and I love it because there's just so many forms of, you know, abuse that people have gone through.
Yeah,
and I've even spoken with men, you know, who are in abusive relationship with these abusers, these women who have not quite healed themselves. And then they get in relationships with these good men, and then they become abused. So it's a cycle, and it's got to be broken. That's why it's so important. I love what you said about getting to know you, because how can we recognize love? How can we really understand how it feels if we don't have a love of ourselves and we don't know how unconditionally love the God that God gives us? Like, how can we really truly recognize that we can love someone if we don't really love ourselves?
Right.
And so it's so important for us to, and women, I don't know why we seem to feel like we just got to have somebody. We got to be in a relationship. Well, the relationship starts with you. Because the cycle repeats itself. It will repeat. Every time we settle, we get less than what we settled for. Every time. And I learned that the hard way. And I just said, I want to love me. Carlette, who are you? What are you doing? What's your purpose? You know, and I talk to God all the time, constantly. And I love this process because every day we wake up, it's a process. We have to remember what our ministry is about. We have to know what our walk is about. We had to go out and share what our walk is about and what God is doing in our lives. So it starts with us, and I'm so glad that you said that because that's the first thing I usually talk to everybody about. It starts with you.
It does. You've got to understand you, and I'm learning me. And for me to have a mirror put up in my face, for me, it's exciting because it explains why people, when they initially would meet me in the past, they didn't want to be around me after that. And now I can be like, ooh, I was like that. You know, so it helps you look at yourself. And I've heard women say, well, why do I keep attracting the same man? Well, have you sat down and looked at yourself? What can you change about you?
Amen.
So
that is the intro. Yes.
It is. And it's like it's human nature to point the finger, you know, and not stop and think, okay, well, what role am I playing in this? Well, what can I do to change this situation? And a lot of women don't stop to think that you need to start, look at yourself, evaluate you, evaluate your process, how you think, how you carry yourself, what are your aspirations, what are your goals, what are you doing to change you and make yourself a better person so that you, your spirit, will be like, uh-uh, girl, he's not the one, versus you welcoming that evil spirit back in.
That is so true.
So it's for women as a whole, we've got to acknowledge us. We've got to say, God, I want to be a better person. Show me me. Show me where I need to improve so that I'll know. My radar will go off and be like, oh, girl, did you feel that? You'll know, not him. Versus, we were like, you don't even feel
that
nothing.
That is so true. Yes. I'm so glad that, yes, that when you get to that point and you start to recognize, you're right, you have no room for nothing else. If either you're coming correct, either this person is a cultivator in some way, growing you, maturing you, helping you, you know, giving you inspiration and everything that you, those other ones, you can just let them go, you know, turn the other way. Don't give them your number. Don't even hold a conversation.
Right.
That's where I am. So that's why I laughed about it, because that's exactly where I am. You know, the cultivator, the person, even us, we have to always stay in God's presence, which is 5 points, and that's hot moment, delightful place, presence, and open door. And see, when we stay in his presence, then we don't have to look. They come to you. Your cultivator, mm-hmm. if you want, you know, any good situation, anybody that you know that God has put in your life, see, they got to come to God. They're going to come to God first. And they
right.
know where you are. We know where they are because you'll feel that. I know you've felt that. You feel like a kinship, a spiritual awareness when you meet someone that you know is so God-fearing and loves God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel it in your spirit. And so when you don't feel it, the best thing to do is turn around and keep walking.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. Because you'll feel comfortable. And it'll be as if you've known them all your life. And that's even with friends. Because I sit back, and I know I mentioned this last week, I couldn't even remember how and when I met Stephanie. Because it feels like I've been knowing her for so long. I took my niece, she's 24, to a homeless event. And someone that I met there, I met him when I began this organization in December. And she was like, well, Aunt Wanda, how long have you been knowing that person? I said, well, probably about 6 months. She was like, really? Well, how long have you been knowing that person? I said, oh, about 5. She was like, but it seems like you all have been knowing each other forever. When God puts people in your lives, that's what it feels
yes.
like.
That's mm-hmm. what it feels like. Love, that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. It really does.
Yeah.
And so, and Stephanie and Wanda, you know, I can't stress this enough on if we women, and I hope that we're speaking to someone or a lot of women who feel like they're afraid to let go of situations or afraid to, you know, if we can just call on God, speak to God,
mm-hmm.
spend some time with God, meditate with God, you know, speak in your native tongue, speak to him and start understanding and listen and be patient, you know, be still. Sometimes we just have to be still.
Yeah.
I believe that we can change the circumstance because let me tell you, when the mountain is moved and we want that mountain to be moved, it will move swiftly. Not, you know, next year, next whatever. When you are ready to come out of a situation and you want to know your purpose and you want to have a peace of mind and to love yourself and to start understanding who you are,
mm-hmm.
immediately a change occurs. I mean, immediately with God. Immediately.
Yes. And the key is you've got to be careful what you ask for, because if you begin to ask him for it, and when he brings it to you, be ready. And I know Sunday I was in church, and I was like, okay, I prayed, God, I'm ready for you to use me. So I said it constantly, I'm ready. I didn't really know what he was going to do. But when he did it, I was like, I can't, I'm not ready for this. And Sunday is when he reminded me, you told me that you were ready.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask God, when you pray and you say, okay, God, I'm ready, make sure you're ready because he answers. And when he answers, you've got to be obedient. And it's Sunday, I'm like, people that know me, they've heard me say, oh, my God, it's so, my journey, my life has changed so much for me, and it's all in a very positive manner. And for me, you know, we're used to doing what we want to do and how we want to do it, and that's just, we don't like change. Change sometimes is uncomfortable. And this change for me has been uncomfortable, even though I prayed for it. But for me to acknowledge, okay, God, yes, I did ask for this. Okay, God, I did say use me in where you see fit. And now that you've answered me, I've got to accept and do what it is that you have me to do. But it took this, it's taken me time to be like, wow, when he works and when he shows up, for me, I get excited. It's like this little girl opening Christmas presents, because when he shows up and acknowledge it's him, for me, it's like, oh, my God. So I explained to my niece, like, something's going to happen. She was like, Wanda, I'm jealous. And I was like, why are you jealous? She said, because of the relationship that you have with God. She said, I want to be able to talk to him. I said, you can, and you do. He's listening. She said, but he answers you. I said, he answers you too. You just got to know how to listen and pay attention.
That's so true.
Because for me, now, I listen and I pay attention. I said, he talks to you. You just got to know that it's him and acknowledge that it's him. But she was like, I'm jealous. I want that kind of relationship. And then inside of me, I was like, wow, I am a chosen one. I've been chosen to lead God's people closer to him. And I had a classmate ask me, he's like, how do you know when God has chosen you to do something? And I can remember in my younger days when you hear preachers say, I've been called to preach God's word. I would say, how do you know he called you? Oh, but when he calls you, you'll know. And that's what I tell my classmates. I'm like, trust me, when God calls you to do something, there's no doubt in your mind it's him. Because you feel it all over you. He's amazing.
All over, you're right. That is so amazing. You know, we all have, you know, God gave us an assignment. He gave us all an assignment. And so sometimes we don't want to accept the assignment, but then we have to realize, wait a minute, this is probably why I'm going through what I'm going through, because I don't know enough about myself assignment. And that's why we had to go through what we went through so that we can complete the assignment for God. Fulfill our assignments for God. And that's why, I mean, just that alone, I praise God. I praise him for allowing, first of all, he chose us. Let's just start with there. He chose us to go through what we went through.
Right.
Because he said, you know what, it's not even about you. If you think about it, it's now for someone else. But I brought you through. Mm-hmm. I brought you through. Now you need to now reach out. And that's what my nonprofit organization is about. WAR means reach out and rise. Reach out to someone and pull them up with you. Allow them to see, you know, God's light. Allow them to hear the word. Allow them to be ministered to so that they can still fulfill their purpose.
And I think to me it's amazing how God has chosen. We all have different paths, but they lead up. We all have the same ending. Your story is different from mine. Mine, yours, Stephanie, ours. We are on different paths because our lives and what occurred was different. But we come together on this journey to have the same ending place, which is our motivation, our goal, to help other women and children. And for some, it's also men, to help them, to let them know that they're not alone, that they can speak out, that it is okay to say, hey, this happened to me, and I need help. This happened to me, and I want to be able to be healed, so that I don't carry this burden on me. And it's just amazing to me. I actually thought about, wow, if we, all the different organizations just came together as one. So you have that one place someone can go and get, be it a male, female, a child, just a place where they can go. Even, say, for instance, if you have a mother that's struggling in school start, they need school supplies, they need a haircut, or they need shoes.
Yes.
Just a place where these people can go for help. It's just, and it's all there for us to do. And it just, when I think about it, I get really excited. I get excited about God's work. I get excited about what He has me doing. And I get excited to see the lives that are touched. And in a short period of time, we as survivors have made differences in people's lives. And I've shed so many tears of joy. I keep tissue in my car now because I never know when I'm going to need it. Because I just love to see the changes that are being made. Now, I do know, too, Colette, you have a CD called Unbreakable. What was your motivation behind your CD?
Yes, I do. I just had our big release party on May 9th, day before Mother's
mm-hmm.
Day, because the single we released is called Lord, I Thank You for My Mother. And we released several songs, which is now on iTunes and in stores. And every song, and there's about 15, all of these songs are about my testimony. It's about what I went through. It's about the abuse. It's about the relationships, the bad decisions, every song. But the positiveness is that I got through.
Mm-hmm.
I got through. And so every song is this first album, Unbreakable, just allows me to be able to share that we are unbreakable. We women, we men, we are unbreakable. We just have to tap into who we are, you know, rule and reign and use our powers that God has given us. So that's what this whole album, Unbreakable, is about. And I'm very excited, as you probably can hear, because May was just around the corner, but we had a really beautiful celebration, and
mm-hmm.
it's now in stores.
Yes, I've listened to it, some of it, and it's I was jamming. I pulled it up on YouTube, too, and I was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, and then I watched some of, I guess they would call them trailers on your website, even when
yes.
you were, like, sitting in the chair, and your makeup artist, her hair is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
But your makeup artist, so just the music, and just looking at the people around you and the fun and just
yes.
enjoying God. And it was just like, you know, when some people try to put, you know, gospel and how you're supposed to act in a box. But when I looked at your video information, I was just like, wow, it's just like carefree. And I was like, I want to be there with you in that room when you get your face done and your friend that was just energetic in the dance. It was like,
yes.
it was breathtaking. It was wonderful. And it really did make me.
It is. Yes.
I loved it. Now, I do know,
thank
too,
you
have some
thank
events.
You.
No, thank you. You have some events coming up.
I do.
Now,
as a matter of fact, I'm here at one now for the overseer of this album, Mr. Alan Johnston. He's
mm-hmm.
he's always got us busy, either interviews, just sharing what gospel rhythm music really means, because I'm signed
mm-hmm.
to an independent company, Gospel Rhythm Music, through Sony, through Orchard, through Sony. And so we get a lot of opportunities to be able to share why the music is so different, why it's not just contemporary music, but it's a gospel. It's a rhythm of good news. It's a rhythm of all kinds of music that we love and that we can really feel good to. And so that's what I wanted. I didn't want to just have a gospel album is pump contemporary, you know, whoa,
mm-hmm.
same thing,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much
mm-hmm.
that we all individually share. So I wanted to kind of show a background of what I love, the kind of music that I love too. So, yeah, very excited.
I am for you too. Now the laughter is like medicine. What is that about on September 5th?
September 5th is another event where we're performing in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We get to perform for different avenues of music in gospel, and this is one where just gospel music are just we're coming together and just sharing what God is allowing us to do. So I've been touring for the past 2 years. I want to say I'm so blessed to get a chance to actually grace the stage with Dedrick Haddon, Marvin Sapp, and Fred Hammond in Durham, North Carolina. And I mean, God, I was so excited. But see, and that's what God wanted me to understand. He says, look, it doesn't matter. It's not about someone has a better title than you, someone's been in the industry longer than you. I place you where I want you to be placed. And if it's with them, it's with them. If it's at a small community, then that's where you need to be. If it's at a small church, that's where you need to minister. And if it's with a Yolanda Adams or if it's with, you know, Mary, then that's where you need to be. So we always have to be prepared. That's what it's more so about. It's just always being able to share it and be prepared because you never know where God is going to place you. You never know.
And I needed to hear that, too. I needed to hear that.
Yes.
You're also having a first annual Black Tie event for celebrating families with children stricken with sickle cell disease, September 19th.
Yes.
That sounds exciting, too.
Yes. I'm very excited about that because last year I performed with Athea Cleveland. She's a wonderful woman that's doing so much in the community that's addressing sickle cell and just getting help and helping the families. And she invited me last year, and I got a chance to perform with Mr. Ellis Hall. Mr. Ellis Hall is a blind musician that plays every instrument. He was signed to Ray Charles' label. He's done so many wonderful things in the industry, and he blessed me to do a duo on the album Unbreakable called Yes, Lord. And so we got a chance to perform, and very excited. So she asked me to come back this year as well, so really excited about what God is doing.
Now, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, just excited, that's all.
If people wanted to get more information about you and wanted to even purchase tickets or follow you, how would they be able to get that information? What, like your website or something?
Oh, please, I have definitely a website, which is CarletteMartin.com, and it's updated all the time with the events. And I also am on Facebook, my name, Carlette Martin.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and that's Carlette_Martin. So, and as a matter of fact, I have a show that I'm about to perform in a few minutes, too. But so I hope you don't hear a lot of noise, but I'm always busy. God always has me somewhere ministering. And so, but yes, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Carlette_Martin.
Great. Well, Carlette, I know you're getting ready to go do a show. And unfortunately, our hour is already gone.
Can we do this again soon?
Yes, we will, because there's a lot to talk about. Yes, we will.
Great.
Very soon.
Thank
We're going to reach
you.
Out to
Thank
you.
Thank you, Wanda and Stephanie, so much.
You're welcome.
God bless
Thank you.
Let's you. Continue what God is doing for us. And kingdom blessings to you.
Same
to you.
Thanks for taking time out for us.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Now, I want to just thank everyone for listening and I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. And once again, we are here to help, support, and to guide. We do have an event this Saturday for those that are following, and I hope that you'll be able to be a part of it. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.